Real4Radio.com.
Join me, Rebecca Christensen-Mapston, in real time for real topics on Real Talk with Rebecca on 4Radio.com.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
American Hat Company is known throughout the world as the hat preferred by rodeo champions, ranchers, everyday cowboys, cowgirls, and rodeo fans. From the arena to the boardroom, no one does it better. Handmade in Bowie, Texas, American hats are made with tradition in the old-fashioned way. From the finest in felts to the best in straws, there is an American hat for every occasion. The CB Cowgirls are proud to have our ambassadors wearing the number one hat in the world. Thank you, American Hat. Find your own American hat at your favorite retailer. American Hats, handcrafted since 1950.
Need tickets to the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo this December? Boyd Gaming's got them. They offer room and ticket packages that include transportation to and from the rodeo. Visit www.boydgaming.com/NFR. Boyd Gaming is riding for the brand.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, welcome to Tamara's Table with Miss Georgia Ambassador Tamara Savino. Tamara, take it away.
Hi, Maria. Hi, everyone.
How are you? Welcome. Welcome to 4Radio, Tamara. I love meeting you at your table.
Thank you so much. And I'm so happy to have all of you join us at this table, this virtual table that literally goes around the world. And we are so excited to be here tonight to share with you a beautiful message about love. Tonight's message is, home is where the heart is. Okay, oftentimes we talk about, what is the place in the home, that we all tend to congregate at, and that a lot of people will say it's the kitchen, they'll say it's the den, they'll say, it's the bedroom because it's kind of, a romantic place. But let's think for a moment where God is in our hearts, and that is really where our home is. It's with the Lord. And so I want to share with you tonight from the 4Radio family that our show is focused tonight on you, on your heart, on our relationship with God and how that's all interconnected, and, of course, on family, friendship. And you know what, Maria, at the end of the day, it's all about love.
Amen.
All right, so let's get started. We like to start our show every time with an opening prayer. And so I prepared for everyone here a prayer of peace in your life and in your home. So let's just take a moment of reflection and just kind of pause whatever you're doing. I always say if you're driving, don't pause, keep driving. But, I want everyone to just kind of get into a place for a moment where you're just really focused on your heart and you're focused on this prayer with the Lord. Dear loving Lord, our homes need your peace. Our families, we need you. Won't you come to us? Won't you set us free from our burdens? Pour out your love like a waterfall over us. Pull out your spirit and give us your spirit, Lord. Wash us clean, cover us, protect us. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we thank you that we are cleansed. We are cleansed from his wounds. Mercy and peace come forth to us. Please heal our wounds between us, between one another. Heal those broken spaces and places in our hearts that only we know to be in the darkest places there, deep from within. Let us block any enemy thought or any enemy idea that comes to our mind. Let us respect one another, love one another, and more importantly, allow us the capacity, Lord, to listen more to one another. Let us love one another, because, Lord, you said that we should love each other, that is the new and holy commandment, that we love one another. We thank you for this commandment, Lord, and we ask you that we should learn to follow it more clearly and follow your direction. Let change happen inside of us, Lord, within each and every one of us. During this show tonight, Lord, I ask you to reach out to those who are hurting, whose hearts are struggling, who has a broken heart, who is sad. God, give us the strength to overcome. Show us how to love you more. Show us how to love more, how to show others to love more, how to love greater, deeper, longer. Lord, show us how to care more for ourselves, for our inner peace, for our inner spirit, and to care more then also for others. Lord, show us how to forgive, first to forgive ourselves for where we have fallen short of your glory. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness tonight. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you set us free and give us that forgiveness that only comes from you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace. Grace is the word. Grace is God. Grace is peace. We ask your spirit to change us. Come into our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our spirits, and let your spirit change us. Change us for the better. Change us for the greater. And while we know you care so much, we ask you to put your loving arms around us, to just give us a nice big hug, and also to show others that we care for them and that you care so deeply for all of us. Lord, we trust in this. We thank you that we can lean upon you and trust in you, and that everything, literally everything, is in your capable, ever-loving, everlasting hands. Lord, we thank you for the sweet love of Jesus. We thank you for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the heart of the story tonight. So my show is a little different. We first set out at 4 Radio to have this be sort of an interview type of call where I would interview various guests. And, you know, we might do that from time to time. But, you know, our show's kind of taken another direction. And the direction is this: whatever God puts into my heart, I'm going to share with you. And whatever that is, I'm hoping that it will somehow help you in whatever you're dealing with to find some peace and love. And today, the message that was coming to me is, home is where the heart is. Now, as I started the call tonight, I was saying that, you know, there's different places in our home where people tend to think, well, this is the place where I feel most loved. Think for a moment in your home or where you live, where you feel most loved, okay? There's a reason for that. There's a connection that you're making to that space in your home, okay? That's a good feeling. Some people like to cook. Some people like to entertain, and so they will find themselves, you know, entertaining in the heart of the home, which they will call their kitchen. Others may find it to be their den. It's the place where their family can all come together at the end of the day and watch their favorite show, laugh together, cry together. Or maybe you're single and you live alone. This is the space where you just have an opportunity to just kind of escape from the day, relax, put your feet up, put your fuzzy slippers on, pour a glass of wine, or, you know, whatever your favorite thing is. Some people like to eat in front of the television. Some people like to, eat at the table. Whatever your place in the home is, that is the heart of your home. Okay, I want you to think right now, and you can just, you know, kind of keep it to yourself there, like, what is the place where you feel most at home? Okay, now, when you are in that place, you know, there's a reason that you feel that kind of comfort. Your home should be a place of peace, should always be a place of peace and joy. You can create that peace and joy yourself by doing various things throughout your home. Some people will do it by decorating. Some people will light a candle or some candles to make it kind of an ambiance or make it romantic if they're having, you know, a romantic evening or romantic dinner. Perhaps the wife is making a nice, beautiful meal for her husband, or husband is going to surprise his wife. Perhaps it's your partner or your new love in your life. Perhaps you're alone and you just love the scent of beautiful candles. Maybe it's, you know what, maybe your favorite place is a nice big bubble bath, you know, whatever it is, you know, just think of that place, you know, and whenever you're out and you're feeling stressed and you know that you won't be home for a while, think for a moment how blessed you are. If we can focus on our blessings, we have come so far, because when we focus on the blessings, our heart is full. That's what fills our heart up, is blessings and gratitude. And love, love for ourselves and love for others. If your heart is hurting, if your heart is broken, then you are not feeling full in your heart, right? So you want to foster a feeling of love wherever you go. Now, someone once told me that you take you with you wherever you go. Now, I want to share with you for a moment what this really means. I'll slow it down. You take you with you wherever you go. So if you happen to go somewhere and then you go to another place and another place and you don't feel peace, you don't feel comfort, and you don't feel at home, guess what? There's a common thread. The common thread is you. Get your heart right. Get your heart in a great place. And the way to do that is with the great loving God, okay? Having a close relationship with God is the only way to find true peace. That is where your heart should lie. It should be with the godly things, the things that fill you with joy and love and prosperity and peace and comfort. Now, if you're not at home and you're feeling kind of stressed or anxious, you can think of the beautiful things at home. If you're a husband, you may think about a loving thought of your wife. Immediately, you will notice that you will feel those feelings kind of melt away, okay? The stress can kind of melt away because you're thinking a loving thought, right? Likewise, a mother may be thinking of her child, or a mother may be an empty nester and she's thinking of her children that live far away or off at college, okay? Whatever it is, you may be a mother that's newly returned to the workplace and you're just sad because you didn't want to leave those little babes at, you know, at the daycare, but you had to, or you had to leave them with a babysitter or a nanny. Maybe you're feeling guilt about that. Don't do that. That's not going to a place where your heart really should be. Do not feel guilty about what God has given you to do. If he's given you a task to take care of your family, you must release that guilt and instead send love. Wherever your children are, pray for them. Pray for their safety. Pray that they are with the angels. The angels are guarding and protecting them. Do you know that when I was a young single mom and I was raising my boys, I used to pray and send some of my guardian angels to protect my sons when they would go out when they were teenagers. And, you know, when they're teenagers, they do what they do, and oftentimes they don't check in like they used to. But let me go to this. I came from a generation where we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have the technology that we have today. And a lot of people don't know this, but I work in technology. Okay, technology is a big part of my life, okay, it has been for about 30 years. So I want you to know that I came from an upbringing long ago that dates back to when, you know, before we even had the big processors and things. So we as children would go out of the house, go out on the porch, and we would play, we would play in the yard, we would go down the street, we would be way out of our parents' reach, and our parents needed to just trust that we were okay. They might ring the phone, which was a landline back then, they didn't have the cell phone, so they might call another parent and say, oh, have you seen little Bobby or little Johnny, you know, have you seen little Susie? And they would say, oh, yes, they're in the backyard, you know, playing, and the children ride the bikes down the street, you know, with no worry about, you know, would they get kidnapped? Would they get taken? People today have so much stress about their loved ones. Okay. Some stress has to do with the things I'm talking about. your children being out of reach, you might panic or have angst because you haven't heard from your children on a text for a while. Maybe it's been a half an hour. Maybe they were supposed to be home by 10 o'clock, you know, and they're, or 9 o'clock, they're not home. Or maybe they're an older child and they're still out and you don't know where they are and they haven't answered you. It's scary when you don't know what you don't know. But that's how it is with God. We don't know what we don't know. We have to learn to trust the Lord. We need to put our trust in Him. God is everywhere, and He is with your children. He is with your wife, your husband, your loved one, your fiancé, you know, your partner, whoever your significant other is. And you know what? They're with your family. They're with your pets. There are people who only have pets, and that's fine too. That is their family. That's where their heart is with those pets. And isn't that sweet? We all have a different way of life, but one thing will never change, and that is the ever-changing love of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the home where your heart is. I want you to think about that. I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus is the home where your heart is. And if you're not right with Jesus, you're not right in your heart. I'm here to tell you that if you are not filling your heart with the godly things, with the things that are a good report, the Bible says that you should think upon these things, the things that are beautiful and lovely and are a good report. These are the ways you should be thinking. You should be thinking the best of people. You should not take advantage of the love that you have in your life. If God has put a particular person in your life or in your path, we must show love and respect to that person. They are there for a reason. We don't know the reason necessarily. Well, maybe we do. But they are God appointed to be in your life. Some are there for a lesson. Some are there for a blessing. I want to say that again. Some people are there for a lesson. Some people are there for a blessing. You need to look at those people around you in your immediate home, in your immediate life, in the inner circle that you're in, and the circle just outside of your inner circle, and ask yourself about the people that you come most in contact with. Is this person to me a blessing or a lesson? Okay? And ask God to show you, is this person a lesson or a blessing? All right, now let's get to the meat of the show, which is going to be a little bit more biblically based, all right? I want to also share, where there is righteousness in the heart, there is beauty in the character. Look at the character within yourself. If you feel you are not at peace, then you need to find peace with your past. Okay, let me say that again. If in your heart you do not feel peace, you must make peace with your past. And that means you need to search God and ask Him to help heal the places in your heart so that you can be a beautiful heart in the beautiful character where there is harmony and peace, not only within yourself, but within your home. Your peace is contingent upon your relationship with God. What that basically means is, listen, if you have someone in your household that appears to be, we'll say, a bad apple, there are such thing as lost souls, okay? If there's someone in your immediate family that is in this place, I ask you to pray for them. Only God can make the changes. You only have the power to change what is in you. So I'm asking everyone on this call to just search your heart and seek the beauty in your heart and in your own character. And then when you have this, there is more harmony, not only in your home, but at your work life and other places in your life, okay? So when there's harmony in the home, there is order in the home. And when there is order in the home, there is peace. The same goes for our world. I'm going to say it in another way. When there's harmony in the home, there's order in the nation. A lot of people are very stressed about what this country's coming to. A lot of talk about politics. I don't really get into the politics of things as much as I do about the spiritual side of things. So what I want to share with you is a less political stance, but more of a, I want to say, heartfelt stance. When there is order in the nation, there is peace in the world. There, I just said it. When there is order in the nation, there is peace in the world. So likewise, when there's beauty in your character, there's harmony in the home. So if we have more harmony in our homes across this nation, we'll have more peace. We'll have more love. And if we have more peace and more love, it goes out. It goes out, out, out. And that harmony just raises up and it glorifies God. And then there is more order in the nation. And therefore, there is more peace in the world. And that's how it works. So let's go ahead and move on now to the heart of the home. Okay? The heart is where the home is. And, you know, we've heard the old adage, you know, home is where the heart is. But, you know, if Apostle Paul was here with us today, he might rearrange the words more like the other way that I'm sharing with you. The heart is in the home, right? The heart is where the home is. So that's the essence of the passage that I'm looking at today. So we'll journey through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So I want to back up this whole concept by going to the book of Ephesians, and you can reference it on your own time. You can research Ephesians 3:14-17. It's been very helpful for me. So the way the passage goes is, you know, you want to kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven on earth derives his name, and you can pray out his glorious riches that they may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through your faith. Once again, that reference is Ephesians 3:14-17. Okay, so now I want to take a few minutes to provide you with some introductory information about the passage that I just shared. But then I want to spend most of our time together here tonight focusing on the concept of Christ dwelling in our hearts. So the beginning of this phrase of the passage probably looks familiar to some of you, maybe not so familiar to some others who have never really studied Ephesians. But if you have, you'll remember that Paul began chapter 3 with that very same phrase. So for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, he says. And then, as we've seen over the past weeks, you know, Paul does, as he often does, and he actually shares more about how God is carrying out his eternal purpose through the body of believers. And so now, as you go to verse 14, Paul will continue with the thought that began back in verse 1. I hope that's not too confusing, but basically, I want you to think about this. This will kind of summarize it. Do you ever think about why we pray? Okay, so I really think that one of the reasons that we pray is that, you know, we spend a lot of time focusing on the sovereignty of God. In the first 3 chapters of Ephesians, you will learn more about that. And it's God who chooses us. Okay, so God predestines us to become part of his family, and God redeems us, and God guarantees that we will one day receive an inheritance of all the spiritual blessings that he has promised to us. So it only seems fair to ask us, God, you know, what are you doing? What is your will anyway, and why should I pray? It's okay to ask him questions. So ask him. Ask God, what is he doing? What is he doing in your life? What is he doing in your heart today? And what is his will for you anyway today? And ask him, what should you be praying about? You know, he knows already what we need, but he does still want us to come to him and ask. So I want to go ahead and continue now with thinking about this. You know, the purpose of making God's wisdom evident here on earth and in the heavens is that, you know, God wants us to seek his will in all things. And he wants us to fill our hearts with his glory, with his, you know, with thoughts of him and thoughts of our love for him. Really, it's all about love at the end of the day. God wants us to focus on love, okay? We need to get our thoughts off of the distractions, off of any of the hatred that we're hearing about, all the discord going on in the world. And really what we need to do is just bow down on our knees before our Father, our Heavenly Father. And when we pray, we want to ask him how we can submit more to him, be more in awe of him, you know, be in reverence of him. We want to make sure that when we do pray, that we do come to God with the right kind of heart. The right kind of heart isn't asking for things. so, okay, let me, I've said this before to people, God isn't Santa, okay? I know the holidays will be soon approaching, but just remember, God isn't Santa. He's not someone that you just, like, you know, make a wish list to and just expect him to deliver on it, okay? I don't know how many of you pray that way, but if you're praying that way, then maybe you're not going, you know, to your prayer with the right kind of heart. What we really need to do is go boldly and ask him for his guidance, for his wisdom. Be in reverence and in awe of God and what he's doing in your life and what he's doing in the world. Try to find things around you that you can be grateful for. Focus on those things and let those things expand in your life, because that is really where your heart is going to grow the most, is when you find gratitude in the people around you, in the places around you, and in the things around you. God wants us to learn to forgive. And so if we cannot forgive ourselves, then how are we expected to forgive anyone else? That's really an important lesson that all of us need to learn, and we can all, you know, do some work on. Who do you have in your life that you need to find absolute 100% total forgiveness for? Maybe someone hurt you. Maybe someone betrayed you. Maybe someone lied to you, cheated on you, broke a covenant with you, broke a rule, let you down, disappointed you. The list goes on. Who, like an owl, to say, who is it in my life that I cannot forgive? And I'm going to tell you something. All of your heart's broken pieces will all fall back together again once you identify where that hurt is. Okay? God cannot start working on those places until you have allowed him, you know, to hear from you that you recognize where you need to most forgive. So, in other words, it's kind of like an admission. It's almost like just saying, okay, you know, you can talk to God however you want. You can say, you know, okay, God, I get it. I really need to come forth and share with you and put it at your feet that, you know, I just really haven't forgiven, you know, X, Y, or Z person, whoever the person is. You know, maybe it's your brother, maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your girlfriend, your boyfriend, maybe it's your child. Maybe your child sassed off to you and you just can't seem to get a handle on things and you have some, you know, hurt in your heart and you haven't forgiven your child. This happens. You may love your child, but you might not have forgiven your child. You need to learn how to be a forgiving person, an all-forgiving person. And until you're able to really be in awe of God in all of his splendor and all of his glory, and then give over to God the truth will set you free, okay? Until you're able to really give that truth to God and say, okay, here it is. It's okay to say to God, I'm angry, or I'm disappointed, or I'm hurt, or whatever the feeling is. It's okay. God already knows you are. Don't kid yourself. People think because they can't see God that, you know, they can hide things from him. Let me tell you something. The things in the darkness, God sees more than anything. God's light sheds on the darkness. So if you have a dark place in your heart that you need patching, you're not going to be able to patch it up with a Band-Aid or some speckle or whatever. You know, I'm using some metaphors here. There is no way to patch it on your own. Okay? I'm going to say it again. There is no way to patch it on your own. In order for you to have a peaceful heart, you must observe what broken pieces are there. You need to face them straight on and with yourself, not with that person. You don't even need to see that person. And here's something I'm going to tell you and share with you that's so valuable about this lesson tonight is, let's say it's someone that hurt your feelings back in high school, okay? You've lost touch with that person. You have no idea where that person lives, but maybe it was a coach from high school that told you, you're never going to amount to anything, you know, get up, run, you know, you're not fast enough, you're not good enough, you know. Somewhere, somehow, that got in. That got into your heart. That hurt you. So you need to look at that and observe that, identify that, say, aha. Have your aha moment. I call them aha moments. And say, that's it. God, that's it. It's so-and-so person or, you know, or those people or this or that, you know. And just name it. If you don't know what it is, ask God to name it. And you know what? If you are dealing with someone who is really challenging you and giving you a hard time, ask that person, say, who are you? Just ask them, who are you? And it may throw them for a loop, but, you know, in the middle of their discussion with you, or they might be angry and hollering or whatever, but just ask them, who are you? If we do not know who we are in Christ, and we cannot profess that from our lips in a moment when we're asked, then we're not full in our heart. We're not full in the Spirit. I urge you, if someone asks you or challenges you, that you tell them who you are. You say, I'm a child of God. I'm a son or I'm a daughter of God. And, you know, I was born in the flesh, but I am spirit. I am a spirit living in a body, and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is my Savior. Call it, name it, say it. Do not back down from your faith, whatever it is, whatever you're dealing with. If someone's challenging you, and if you're a teen or a young person listening to this call, and someone's challenging you, or someone's bullying you or hurting you, I urge you to put a hedge of protection and pray that hedge of protection around yourself. Ask your family, your church, a friend to pray with you. And I ask you to block that person or those people from your life. And if you can't get away from that person because that person's too close to your inner circle, tell someone. This is for anyone of any age. If you are being in a situation where your heart is being hurt, I don't care what it is. If someone is disrespecting you, if someone isn't loving you with all they have and giving you only love, the best kind of love possible, then stand up. Stand up, stand up for Jesus. It's an old song. It's an old hymn we learn in church. Stand up for Jesus. Now, I say that because the Spirit of God is from within, okay? The body is the temple of God. And so when you have asked the Holy Spirit and asked Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes to be with you and in you, okay? So if anyone tries to hurt you or challenging you, guess what? It's grieving the Holy Spirit along with you. And you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit because it's really a very, very great sin. We are asked never to grieve the Holy Spirit, okay? There are great consequences on the day of reckoning with that. So I urge you also, you know, if you are in a situation where you're being challenged, or whether verbally, emotionally, anything like that, just stay true to your heart of who you are with Christ. You can never, ever go wrong. You can never go wrong when you look to God, who is and should be the center of your heart, okay? He is your heart. God is your heart. And so the more that you allow other people to make a footprint, you know, in your life that are not being, you know, let's say holy and respectful, then, you know, this is, you're only hurting yourself, okay? You've got to learn to put certain boundaries with certain things and certain people. Now, if people in your inner circle, and let's say it's someone who puts you down, like let's say it's your sister, okay, and your sister always says things that really kind of, you know, maybe, you know, come off the wrong way or kind of hurts your feelings. You need to address it with her. And you also need to address it within your own heart and ask God to heal that broken place and just focus on the Lord to not only heal your broken places and your hurt, but to also heal your sister, okay? Because we're supposed to love one another. I don't care if you're having a bad day. I don't care what's going on in your life, how bad or how difficult it gets. There is never any good excuse to hurt any other person for any reason. Always in God's love, be kind. And if you have lashed out because you're hurt, you need to ask God for forgiveness. Ask Him to heal your heart so that you can be kind and loving to others. Now, I want to share with you another prayer. And then, you know, we might just then open up the line if anyone has any questions or wants to share tonight. Okay, so going to our scriptures, I wanted to share one other thought, okay? Don't forget Ephesians. This is the Bible verse for tonight. And I wanted to share with you about love, one more thing, and that is this. There was a lady named Irma Bomback, who was a writer. She was quite funny, but she also wrote a column, okay? In her column back in 1969, I want to share with you something that she wrote that is really profound, that I found to be just really heart-touching. Me being a mother and a, you know, a parent, I think a lot of the people who are listening on this call, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, or whether maybe you're thinking of having a family, or maybe your children are grown and raised and out of the home, think about this. I'm going to share something, and then we're going to move on to opening the call. No more plastic tablecloths stained with spaghetti. No more bedspreads to protect a sofa from damp bottoms. No more gates to stumble over at the top of the basement steps. No more clothespins under the sofa. No more playpens to arrange a room around. No more anxious nights under a vaporizer tent. No more sand on the sheets or Popeye movies in the bathroom. And no more iron-on patches, rubber bands for ponytails, tight boots, or wet knotted shoestrings. Imagine a lipstick with a point on it. No babysitter for New Year's Eve, or washing only once a week, seeing a steak that isn't ground, having your teeth cleaned without a baby sitting in your lap. No PTA meetings, no carpools, no blaring radios, no one washing her hair at 11 o'clock at night, having your own roll of scotch tape. Think about it. No more Christmas presents out of toothpicks and library paste. No more sloppy oatmeal kisses. No more tooth fairy. No giggles in the dark. And no no knees to heal, no responsibility, only a voice crying, "Why don't you grow up?" And the silence echoing, "I did." All right, I share that tonight for a reason. And the reason is this, you know, being a parent, I know too much what it is like, you know, to have children at home, young babies, and then, you know, growing to young children, young boys, and then grown men. And this Irma Bombeck, you know, writing was so profound because so many of us, you know, we live in the moment where we have people and things around us. Sometimes we feel stressed and challenged by certain things happening. And, you know, even with our own children, we look back when they're gone and we say, wow, where did everything, you know, go? What happened? And they grew up so fast. I myself, as a mom, realize the love and the amazing great gift that my sons are to me still in my life. And, you know, I actually decided to share tonight a little bit from my own heart, kind of a spinoff of what Irma Bombeck said. Okay. So listen with me and then we'll get ready to close out the call. No more go wash your hands. No more take your shoes off in the house. No more do your homework, or do you have everything? No more go tie your shoes. No more get your dirty hands off the stairway wall. No more fingerprints smudged on glass windows. No more get off your cell phone. No more get off your computer. Go to bed. No more clean up your room. No more keep your hands to yourself. No more mind your own business. No more shut off those lights. Don't forget to shut the lights. Did you brush your teeth? No more clean up this mess. No more did you brush your teeth. No more did you make your bed before school. No more get ready. You're late for school. Let's go. No more eat your vegetables. No more. No, you can't have it until after you eat all of your food. No, no dessert without your dinner. And no more. What time will you be home? No more. Will you call me back? No more, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? No more, be in by midnight. No later than midnight. Do you hear me? No more, go ask your dad. No more, go ask your mom. No more telling your friends, time to go home. No more, time to eat. Time to sit down. Time for your show. No more, no more. No more sharing popcorn together or treats or late night snack. No more noise in the house, not a squeak, not a pin drop. No more overflowing laundry baskets. No more dirty towels on the bed. No more dirty dishes left in the sink. No more prayers at bedtime. No more getting dressed up for church. No more prayers before we go to sleep. And when we wake up, no more, hurry up, get to the bus. No more shuffling kids to the ball game. No more pizza nights. No more ice cream trips for being good. No more rewards. No more bell ringing is on the door as they come in late at night. No more time to go home, time to go to bed, time to wake up. No more, no more. This is what it's like when your children leave the nest. And I know too well what it's like to go past a door that once flew open and shut, open and shut, day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. So I share with you from my heart, no more, no more. When will you ever grow up? Will they ever grow up? Only echoes in the silence, I did. This is Tamara Savino at 4radio.com, your Miss Georgia Ambassador. Keep the love in your heart, keep God in your heart, and always remember that your heart is where your home is. Have a good evening.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do. Till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away.
4radio.com